Good morning. It is good to be with you and to be able to come together on this first day of the week to study God's Word. I am deeply encouraged by all of you being here and being able to be part of the service this morning. And I appreciate the comments that we get from time to time, both Brother Robert and I, and even others about the those who are watching online. And we are grateful that you are able to do so. I want to read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, beginning in verse 27. Worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Once upon a time, there was a grasshopper that was out in the field. And as the grasshopper sang its lovely song and chirped away and enjoyed the beating sunshine rays, he noticed an ant on the ground. And he saw that ant walking around on the ground and constantly working and always going back and forth from the field to his house. And the grasshopper said, "Ant, why don't you come out and listen to my song? Why don't you come out and listen to what I have to sing?" The ant said, I can't. I've got to go to work. I've got to go to work because there's winter that's coming. I got to lay by and store." The grasshopper said, You silly ant. Winter is so far away. Why don't you come out and play?" Well, just very quickly afterwards, winter came. And as winter came to pass, the ant laid up in his house, and he was within the ground and the warmth of the ground, and he was dining upon all of the things that he had gathered throughout the summertime. And the grasshopper, "Could you let me just have a little bit? Well, could you let me just have just a small bite to eat? Just a little bit." The ant said, "Well, no. I told you that winter was coming and you needed to lay by and store, but yet you wanted to play all the more. So now you will freeze and die with an empty stomach." The ant is referred to in Proverbs as the one who has strength and the one who works, the one who is busy. "Go to the ant, you sluggard." The fact of the matter is that this sermon this morning is as much intended for Matt Lanham as it is anyone here. Since March, I've been a lot like the grasshopper. I've been out singing my song and minding my own business, and I could care less. You know, I was just happy being happy, and I had a real good reason not to be busy and not to be out doing things and being around and studying our community, our state, our nation, our world has been riddled with the plague. That is the novel COVID-19 coronavirus, as Kay Ivey would refer to it as. It has impacted our lives. Among the greatest things that I believe that has impacted, it has allowed us to become idle. And as the old saying goes, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Whenever we have time to ourselves and time alone, it is a good thing in spurts and in moments, and it is needed in large part. We need to just get a minute away or an hour away or some time away, but we are not made to be idle. We were not made to be stagnant, and we were not made to be just in one spot. I mean, very, very few times when we look at through the Bible, I mean, they were always on the move, always going to where God had laid them up a place. And I think that we were supposed to be out being busy. And we have a great reason to maybe not be. And you know, we don't want to get sick, and we don't want to get others sick. I'm not here this morning. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it ain't real. It ain't really going to get somebody real sick, and it's not going to kill someone. But I want us to think about how we are handling and how we're dealing it. How we're dealing with it. In what ways are we dealing with it? With this idea in the back of our minds that idle hands are the devil's workshop. This is a saying that is very common and very popular throughout not only our culture, and it's popular and it's said in a few different ways. The devil finds work for idle hands, Henry David Thoreau said. You might have heard it, the idle hands are the devil's playthings. That was Benjamin Franklin who is quoted as to saying that. Isaac Watts said, for Satan always finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. And while I was thinking about all of these things about the devil and how the devil works and how whether the devil loves to play, I couldn't help but think of the late, great Joe Diffie, and if the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. But what are we doing, and are we busy about it? And how have we allowed a sickness to stifle our work? You know, it was very common practice, and still is in many instances, to work from home. One of the temptations of working from home is not working from home. I'm here, and I've seen all kinds of different things of people getting out of work while they're at home, and they've logged their computer on and put their mouse up there and then tied a pencil to an oscillating fan where that pencil moves that mouse one direction, it catches it and pulls it back the other way, so it still looks like you're there. It's not just work, it's school as well, and I can run through my work and I can get done and, you know, I can do whatever I want to do. But whatever you want to do oftentimes is idleness, and with idleness comes into play of what is the devil going to use that idle time for? And I would not be honest with you this morning if I said that this has not been one of the most trying and difficult times of my faith. I tried to set on autopilot and cruise control and say, you know, we'll do it. And we get content and we get complacent and we go through the motions and we do different things in different ways just to get the check mark. But too many times it leaves us with idle hands. And what's the devil doing with those? I'm going to be honest with you, this statement, idle hands are the devil's workshop, verbatim is not found within the Scripture. I mean, I can't tell you where to go. I can't tell you to go to Philip 66, verse 3, and tell you that's where it's at. It's not the case. It's a saying that I, however, do believe is rooted within Scripture. And there's a lot of references to this type of saying. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, for we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. We read a moment ago from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27, and we said that a worthless man or an idle man, as some versions would have it, plot evil. When we are idle, we get involved with everybody else and everything else. Because I ain't got no business going on, so I need to find out about everybody else's. And the fact of the matter is, it becomes this thing where, well, I can't just let and allow someone else to have success. I have to find a fault with their success because they need to be more lazy like me. They should be sitting around like I am. What are you doing, you big overachiever? We begin to sound like Joseph's brothers, don't we? Oh, you just trying to be the favorite. You just trying to stay work. You trying to work at work. What kind of novel idea is that? You don't need to be working at work. You need to be sitting around at work like I am. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Besides that, they learned to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. See, the fact of the matter is that if we don't keep our bodies busy, we become busybodies. And if you ever wanted to tweet something, that right there would be really something good to tweet, wouldn't it? Because we want to get in everybody else's business. And if we can't find somebody else's business, well, we're just going to start doing what we want to do on our own. And so many times the things that I want to do are not the things that I ought to do. As Paul would say, the things that I do, I desire, that are against, that is, the things that are in the flesh that I desire or do are against the will of God. So many times I do the things that I ought not to, and I leave undone the things that I ought to do. And when we begin to be idle, we begin to wander not only in our house to house and in place to place, but our minds begin to wander. And as they wander around, they find whatever may treat their fancy for a moment. And many times our interest is not on everybody else, but what can I do? And what can I not do? We become idle, and many of us have become isolated by necessity and for good reason over the last 5 months. And that idleness has, for many, including myself, been detrimental to our faith. It has not been good for us. It's one of the things that is a constant struggle that I hear the elders speaking about. And while the focus is on the safety and the security of the flock, that is more than just health, but it's spiritual as well. And if you don't believe that that is a war with inside of them, and even with inside of myself, and possibly with inside of your own self, then you've got some pretty thick blinders on. Because it is a battle. Amen. It is a battle that we never thought we would face. It was a battle we could not prepare for. It's a battle that we still don't even know if we're going in the right direction. But our idleness, what is it costing us? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. This is a few verses prior to what we just read a moment ago in verse 11. It says, now we commanded you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we are not idle. When we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. Paul says, we had every right to sit back and let you feed us and for us to be just merry and not have to labor. But you know what? We didn't. We went to work. We went to work so that you would have an example to follow after. We went to work so that you couldn't say, well, they ain't working, neither should I. What has our idleness done to us? Paul had the right to freely eat from the hand of the brethren at Thessalonica, but he didn't. He toiled, as he says, night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. We should not be waiting idly by for some great wizard in the land of Oz, that is D.C., to tell us that we can go to work and that we can be about helping our brethren. We don't have to do it face to face. We don't have to do it necessarily within the same vehicle, within the same house. We have so many avenues today, but If you're like me, you simply used it as an excuse to not do anything. Well, if I can't do it one way, then I just won't do it anyway. So many people are isolated and alone and desire and need a warm embrace. The idea and the fact is there are many that are spiritually sick that have been left alone and isolated and despised and feeling rejected. That this time has been the longest 5 months of their life. And oftentimes I wonder about Christ and His time in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that death was ultimately waiting shortly thereby, that He brought some friends with Him and they wouldn't stay up with Him. And you want to talk about feeling alone, despised and rejected, yet He left us an example. We, in many times, in many cases, we have not followed that example. We have taken this idle time and this aloneness in order to find someone or something, and many times it is Satan that is lurking in the background for us to follow after. Paul tells us here, to the church of Thessalonica, you've become idle, but you didn't get that from me. And perhaps I couldn't say the same thing. I don't know that I could say what Paul has said this morning. I think that maybe you did get it from me. We'll have a difficult place to be. And oftentimes I wonder what our choosing of isolation and our choosing of how we're going to respect this sickness impacts our spiritual life. What in the world am I talking about? I'm talking about this. I go to the movie theater and I'll go to Walmart and I'll go to school and I'll go to ball tournaments and I'll go to the huge work banquet, but I'll stay at home for church because it's more convenient. And that may have offended some of you. I'm sorry that it offended you. It doesn't make it any less true. I'm not saying that everyone that's watching this at home is in that boat. I'm not. Do not misunderstand that. But you know whether you are or not. And you are the one that's going to have to answer for that to God. You're not going to answer that to me. You'll answer it to God yourself. Is it because we become idle? Is it because it's just too convenient and too easy? I'd hate for us to have to put a little work in for the man who gave his life on the cross of Calvary for us. It'd be rough to have to give up an hour of a Sunday. You're either building up or you're tearing down. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him that destroys. If we're idle and we become slack and we become, you know, carefree, we might as well be one that's tearing down because we're not building up. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, it says in verse 10. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. What are we tearing down? What are we building up? And where are we running to for our safety and our surety? The Lord is our safety and the Lord is our surety. We must always stay busy. Think about Jesus at a very young age and wanting to stay busy. In Luke chapter 2, he runs away from his mom and daddy. Well, he doesn't so much run away as he doesn't keep up. He gets left behind. Verse 46, it says, Now Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" When people go to look for us, do they look in the house of the Lord? Do they look for those that are serving God? Or do they look at the river and the creek and the mountains and the beach and the boathouse and the mall and school and work? Too bad we don't get lost, and too bad we don't get caught being about our Father's business if we're really going to be like Jesus. You just don't understand, Matt. You know, it's pretty bad right now. It's a pretty rough time, and it's a pretty difficult place to be. Let's just read something real simple, okay? We in a rough spot. We in a tough spot. We got a lot of difficult things we're dealing with. Whether we're going to go to school, whether we're not going to go to school, whether we're going to do school online, whether we're going to start traditional school, how long we're going to keep it traditional school, and then we're going to go to another type of school. I don't have a clue. I ain't got the first idea. Don't have an idea. And then we look back and we look at what we left out. What we were focused on was our spiritual walk. And we said, well, you know, we just had it real rough right here in this time. And in this moment, it was a real tough place to be. Paul had a pretty rough run. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one, 39 times 5. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I don't know how many times you get beat with a rod, but I know it happened at least on 3 different occasions. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day floating in the sea. You think about Rose floating on that plank of a door up there on the Titanic, and there he is, a night and a day, floating on that. Oftentimes, frequently on journeys, in danger from rivers, from robbers, from my own people. The people that are in the group with me, I even have to kind of keep my eye on. From the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. My verse might read a little bit shorter and say, I was in danger being about my Father's business. But I wasn't in danger at 600 other things I'd rather do. Somewhere we got messed up. We got our priorities awful mixed up. We find school is important, but church is a leisure activity. We have come to the point where asking about a brother or a sister is invading personal privacy when really it's love. And the Father's love is greater than any love we could ever know. We need to be about and out working in the field. When Jesus taught to his disciples, and he was telling about those that were working in the field, he tells them to pray for the laborers. In Luke 10 verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And if there was ever a field that was white for harvest, it is the world in which we live in today. So many times we look and from our own comfort of the lazy boy 2.0, say, well, somebody will take care of it. Somebody else. And we don't even pray for those that are out there. What has your idleness cost you? How has not been busy bothered you and cost you? Are you ready to pay the price of a sluggard? You ready to answer on that day that I was lazy? I'm not again pointing fingers anywhere but right back at me. Some of you may even look and say, well, I didn't even think you was that lazy. Well, you don't have to. It ain't about what you think. It's about what I know about me. And it ain't what I think about you. It's what you know about you. And you know the truth. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy man is in the hedge of the thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Chapter 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness, the house leaks. The house starts to wear down and tear down and fall down and go away. There's nobody living in it. Is anybody at home for you? If you're here this morning and you want to answer the gospel call that Christ extends every day, each day, in all parts and all times of the day, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We've been seeking out a way, maybe you have, of finding your own rest. He says, come to me, and it will be true rest. Come and follow after Christ. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.